Mark 10:13-16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these."
Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Even as I come down the steps here in front of the altar, I can tell that children have been here. There's a couple pews. I know there's a pew kind of back about three quarters of the way back in the sanctuary that I could tell children have been there. The stairwell right outside my office, I can tell that children have been there. You want to know how I can tell? Because there's glitter. Glitter is one of those things that you can sort of, you always know something has happened here. And it sort of stays forever, doesn't it? I mean, we're like a month away from Christmas and I'm still getting glitter out of the carpet and, you know, around from where the tree was. It just seems to stick everywhere, doesn't it? And the funny thing about glitter is I'm not a big fan of glitter. My one rule at Christmas time is when Julie and I go out to buy Christmas cards that we never actually get around to send out is to just not buy any cards that have glitter on them. Now, if you were one of the many families that sent me a Christmas card with glitter this morning, you were obviously the exception to that rule. I loved it. Thank you very much. But glitter's always been one of those things I just never really liked it because it's just everywhere. Even now, like if I come into the office on Monday or Tuesday morning, somebody might tell me, they were like, "Arthur, you got a little bit of glitter on your cheek." And it's like, I just walked in the building. I haven't even done anything yet. Now, I've never really been a big fan of glitter, and one day, Lavender came home with this shirt from Target that she really liked that had glittery letters on it, and her mom told her when she got it that Daddy was not a big fan of glitter, so Lavender came up with those big brown eyes, and she was like, "You don't like my glittery shirt?" And I said, "Well, baby, I like glitter when it's on you, sure." Which then she has interpreted to buy as many glittery clothes as possible whenever she can. So we have mountains of kind of glittery dresses that are all around the house, just Anna dresses and Elsa dresses and another Elsa dress, and then there's a third Elsa dress, and there's a springtime Elsa dress, if y'all are a part of that, sort of extra Frozen. We've got all sorts of Disney princesses. We've got superhero capes that somehow also come with glitter. I haven't figured that out as well. You'd figure superheroes would want something kind of a little bit more stealthy, but there you go. And I kind of feel like some days I can come home at the end of the day and sort of recreate the adventures of my children based on these discarded kind of glittery dresses all around. You can sort of understand who was Elsa that day or who was Anna or who was Merida or any one of the other princesses that we have. You can sort of recreate from the mess, that glittery mess that they leave behind, where everybody was that day. And they do. Children leave a mess. See, I sort of track my children according to dress-up clothes. Other parents, you might track them, with books, with blocks, with other sort of toys that they leave behind. My mother used to say that she could always tell where I went from the dirty dishes that were left around the house. She could sort of always tell where I was going. But the thing about it is children leave messes. They leave messes wherever they go. And we're a part of a church that has glitter in the seats. We're a part of a church that's got fingerprints on the walls, that got a little piece of carpet that's pulled up where kids try to like dig their little fingers into it. We've got these little messes that children make, but they're incredibly holy messes. Glitter in the seats is a phenomenal thing to have because it means that the kingdom of God is happening with children, that they are experiencing the love, the lessons of Jesus. Now, we kind of find ourselves in the middle of a story that sort of interrupts what we call the Sermon on the Mount, particularly right here in the Gospel of Mark. And children kind of do that sometimes. Children have a way of sort of jumping into a situation and just kind of dominating it and kind of making it sort of all about them in that one single moment. And that's sort of okay, because it's just like this particular sermon is Jesus is talking about divorce, and then he's talking about rich people, and then right in the middle of that, you've got these children that just kind of jump in and kind of make it all about them for just a moment. And the disciples, they're sort of like some of us sometimes. We try to control the mess. We try to control the noise. We try to, you know, control the giggles and the laughter that might bubble up a little bit too loud. And the disciples, they try to corral the kids. They try to sort of kind of control that just a little bit, kind of bring it down a little bit, kind of push them off to the sides where you don't see them as much. They're sort of like the ones, if you take your kids out to eat and they're being a little bit too loud, you kind of get those like indignant stares from the tables next to them that pretend like their kids never did that too. I get it. But the disciples try to kind of push them off to the side. They try to control the situation a little bit, try to clean up the mess. And you imagine that these kids were kids. They make all the noise that kids make. There was probably some kids crying because their mom didn't bring the right toy with them to meet Jesus. I get it. My kids do that all the time. You imagine that the kids were probably, some were probably laughing, some were probably talking too loud, some were probably asking why Jesus was dressed that way and asking those awkward questions that kids like to ask. But everything that the disciples did in that moment to try to control it and corral it, Jesus was the one that sort of turned and rebuked them and pushed them off to the side. And he welcomed the children to come to him. And these were children that were probably not dressed right. These were kids that in modern days would probably have their ponytails and their pigtails askew, that probably had some dirty faces, that probably had just, you know, the not acceptable level of volume that you would expect in a crowd where the Son of God was speaking. But Jesus welcomed them. And I always like to sort of imagine in my mind that Jesus got down with them, that Jesus talked to him, that Jesus poked him in the belly, that Jesus did all those things that brought the joy and excitement of a child that realizes that there is somebody in front of them giving them their full attention that absolutely loves and adores them. And that how that just lets a child completely open up. That one welcome that Jesus gives is probably one of the best welcomes and best lessons that we have in the totality of the scriptures. Welcome the children to come unto me. And something happens when we do that. Something happens in our church. Something happens in our community, in our nation, in this world, when we open up our arms to welcome children. Because children are the closest example of heaven and God's love that we can possibly ever have. Like I said in my prayer, to live your life with so much excitement and so much throttle that you need to take a nap by 12 p.m., that's the type of love that you need. That's the type of life. To live with such a love that is unhindered, that the fullest expression that you can have from a child is somebody that can offer you nothing except their attention, their love, and their joy. And for most of us, that's enough. To spend time with a child, to spend time with one of our children, spend time with a student, to spend time with a grandkid, man, how it's therapeutic to our soul. Now, oftentimes we get to the point where we're done, we kind of need to take a break, I get it. And if Jesus is telling us that spending time with kids is as close as we're going to get to heaven, to be honest with you, sometimes it kind of feels like the other place. Because you get so overwhelmed, you don't have all the answers, but kids aren't always looking for all the perfect answers. They're just looking for somebody who's there, that's willing to give their attention and their time to be with them. Where we're at in our children's ministry is an incredible opportunity. Right now, we've got right out here in the lobby, we've got some sign-up sheets, some opportunities that we have for you, the members of this church, to be able to step up and help with our children's ministry. And some of the critical areas that we have are Wednesday night teachers, our Sunday school teachers, children's church, teaching children's minute. Some volunteers have been in those positions far longer than their nerves can take, and they need some help. And we're looking for opportunities to where the more people that we have sign up to help, the easier it is on all of us. And the better it will be for our faith. Because there was just a couple weeks ago over in the 10 o'clock and some weeks ago over in here as well where we had an experience of baptizing a child. And when we lift up that child, when the family takes vows to support the church with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness, y'all have a role in that as well. Y'all have vows that you take. And usually you agree with the vows because that's the liturgy that's on the screen and it's awkward if you say no. But the reality is that's a promise that we are making to that family and that child to support them, to encourage them, to pray for them, to lift them up, to be with them when their nerves are frayed and a mom needs a break, to support them when the children's ministry has gotten to a point where we need some people for Sunday school, for vacation Bible school, for children's church, children's moment, to when we need chaperones for trips. That's why we need you. And out on these forms, there's a lot of blank spaces. And each one of those blank spaces is an opportunity for you to experience a small touch of the kingdom of God. And it will do your soul well. Maybe not your nerves, but your soul. And there will be messes, and there will be glitter, and there will be scotch tape, and there will be paper cuts, and there will be laughter, and there will be tears. But it will be the purest experience that we have on this side of heaven of the kingdom of God. Some of the earliest memories that I have in church was going to vacation Bible school when I was in kindergarten, first grade. And tell you the truth, I learned so many songs in vacation Bible school, and I don't have any clue who the choir director was. I would go to Sunday school, I would sit down here in the front during children's minute, and I can't tell you a single name of any of the parents or any of the members that stepped up to help in the children's ministry. But what I do remember is the lessons that they taught me. I remember memorizing scripture. I remember finding out where the books of the Bible were. I remember talking to them about experiences that they had in their faith. And I don't remember a single one of their names, but I remember the experience of what it was to have somebody be there for me. And that formed a foundation that helped me with problems that I never imagined I would ever have as a kid. But as a child, as an adolescent, as a teen, as a young adult, nowadays, I realize the foundation that was built because people took an opportunity to be there for us, to pour into us like no one else ever had. And it's an incredible opportunity. And so if you're ready to take a time to pray about how you might help out in the children's ministry, after the worship service, I know a lot of you kind of take out through the back, and we're going to get out a little bit early today, so we've got time to do this. If you have an opportunity to come and to look at some of the opportunities, and if you're ready to write down your name in one of the blocks, we particularly need Sunday school teachers, we particularly need help on Wednesday nights, and we need helpers in the nursery. And if you're not ready, I want you to go ahead and put your name down anyway, because you don't need to be ready. We will give you everything you need. We just need your time, we just need your presence, and we just need your love for kids that we can go and we can lift up an opportunity to create the very kingdom of God. Because this is one of those reciprocal relationships that we have with God. God came to us as a child, allowed us, his creation, to care for him, to nurture him, to teach him, and to raise him up. And we experience one of the greatest names that we have is God's children. As we are protected, provided for, and watched over by our Almighty God like his children. It's one of those relationships that the more that we create space for children to experience the kingdom of God, the greatest example that we have to experience the children of God. There will be glitter in the seats, but there will be a foundation of faith that is poured out in this church like nothing else we have ever seen. When we invest in our children and we give them time and the welcome that Jesus asks us to. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks, Lord, for the story that you've given us, that we can be like you, one who welcomes children to come into him. Lord, to be those that get down and look a child in the face, and to give them our undivided attention, all the love and attention that we can muster, with nothing expected in return except, Lord, the attention of a child. That teaches us the fullness of the depth of love that you have for us. Lord, that you embrace us as a parent does a child.
You have raised us up. Lord, you have guided us on a step and of a path that we've had to take on faith, and we ask you to take another. Lord, for the opportunities, the critical opportunities that we have for more Sunday school teachers, Wednesday night teachers, children's church volunteers, children's minute volunteers, vacation Bible school helpers. Lord, allow us to fill those spaces that we might create a space where children are welcome to come into you. As we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen.